European aviation security officials still want more scanners. NASA says composite space capsules will work. And Obama will call for delaying the Constellation program. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, January 29th, 2010. Last week's high-level meeting among EU reps and U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano has produced a joint statement that calls for better intel and travel documents to keep those who mean to do us harm off airliners, but also proposes to continue reliance on object-based screening using enhanced technologies for both passenger checkpoints and baggage handling. Quote, "The rights threatened by terrorism, such as life, liberty, and security of person, are among the most cherished human rights. The preservation of those rights is a fundamental task and a shared responsibility. When someone threatens one part of the system, they can cause harm throughout it," unquote. The group plans another meeting on April 10th. NASA says a team looking into design concepts for future space capsules has successfully demonstrated that an all-composite structure is a feasible alternative to traditional metal capsules for carrying astronauts into space and returning them safely to the Earth. The finding is significant because composites allow easier fabrication of complex shapes that may be more structurally efficient. The testing done at NASA looked at common concerns of composites in such applications, namely whether minor damage caused by drop tools and other environmental hazards can spread from the original nick or dent with repeated mission cycles. Project manager Mike Kirsch commented, quote, "The test article withstood twice the design internal pressures with known damage and then was subjected to cyclic testing to four times the design life with no detrimental damage growth. We are very pleased with the entire test series," unquote. But will future capsules be needed anytime soon? Following his State of the Union address to Congress Wednesday night, President Obama will send his budget proposal to Congress on Monday. The Orlando Sentinel cites sources including NASA officials, congressional leaders, and White House insiders in reporting the budget will delay development of the hardware which would be needed to return to the moon for as long as a decade. Instead, the budget reportedly will direct NASA's energies toward earth sciences, principally monitoring and research on climate change. The mission of the International Space Station will be continued through 2020, but the U.S. will increasingly turn to the private sector for ways to get crew members transported there. A fight in Congress is expected, especially from Florida representatives, but one administration official tells the Sentinel that, in the view of President Obama, Congress needs to come to grips with the fact that NASA does not exist to create jobs in their districts. It looks like there will be just one more chance to watch a nighttime space shuttle launch from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Endeavour is set to begin a 13-day mission to the International Space Station on February 7th at 4:39 a.m. Eastern Time. The mission is the first of five and this the last year of operation for the shuttle fleet. The launch will be visible for hundreds of miles if the weather cooperates. I got to watch one from Orlando a few years ago, and even from 50 miles inland, it is a spectacular sight. And about the time you're packing up the lawn chairs, you'll faintly hear the sound of the solid rocket boosters in the night air. Not to be missed if you can catch it. Up next on ANN, an LSA accident brings GA its latest misinformation challenge. The next two weekends will feature TFRs in South Florida. And NORAD had fighters practicing in the Florida skies this morning. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 29. I'm Paul Plack. An accident last weekend in Ellis County, Texas, claimed the lives of a Dunbar High School student pilot and his instructor. The Technam P-2002 Sierra went down while being used for training maneuvers outside Waxahachie. The flight originated at Dallas Executive Airport, where the program is based. The student, 15-year-old Eric Schultz, and his instructor, Greg Green, were part of a future pilots program offered through the school district. Schultz's parents told KTVT News their son was in his second year of the program. Eric's father, Thurman Schultz, told the station, quote, My son wanted to be a pilot. He took this aviation thing real seriously. And I told him, if that's what you want to do, you go out and do it. He learned to fly before he could drive, unquote. School officials say the program will be evaluated, but the Schultz family and Green's widow both say it should continue. The crash has erupted into the latest public relations crisis for general aviation, and especially light sport aircraft. Bob Cox of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram used an aviation attorney as a source in reporting that light sport aircraft are not as safe as traditional trainers. Attorney John Kettles, sounding as if he might be setting the stage for his next case, told the paper, quote, "The problem is these aircraft are not nearly as safe. You've got a lower requirement for the airplane and a lower requirement for the design and testing," unquote. John Eakin of Air Data Research opined, quote, "From reviewing all the accident reports I read every week, I see more and more involving LSAs," unquote. EAA's Earl Lawrence has responded to the paper with a letter which says, in part, quote, "Of course, just 5 years ago, there was zero new light sport aircraft delivered in the U.S. There are now several thousand LSAs. Such a broad statement by Mr. Eakins is akin to saying that more auto accidents were reported in the 20th century than before that time," unquote. South Florida will be a tricky place to fly the next couple weekends. The FAA has posted TFRs for the area over Dolphin Stadium in Miami for the Pro Bowl this Sunday and the Super Bowl next Sunday. Both are centered on points along radials from the Fort Lauderdale VOR, but the one for the Super Bowl is much larger, with a 30-mile radius outer ring to the Pro Bowl's 3 miles. Even with the FAA, the Pro Bowl gets no respect. You can find details on both TFRs in the print version of this story, dated January 28th, at aero-news.net. If you do bust the TFRs, you can expect to be intercepted by a well-rehearsed team from NORAD. Exercise Amalgam Virgo 10 Miami was scheduled for this morning's wee hours in the greater Miami area to allow interagency partners the chance to practice violation procedures involved with the FAA, Customs and Border Patrol, Civil Air Patrol, and the Continental United States NORAD Eastern Air Defense Sector. Since 9/11, fighters have responded to more than 2,300 possible air threats in the U.S. and have flown more than 54,000 sorties as part of Operation Noble Eagle. Still ahead, Airbus and Boeing join to protest subsidies for Bombardier. There are some LSAs a big guy can actually fly. And guess what's being smuggled onto planes and underwear now? You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, January 29th. I'm Paul Plack. Airbus and Boeing have famously squabbled over what constitutes illegal government subsidies, but both are crying foul over the Canadian government's announced plan to back loans for buyers of Bombardier's C-Series. The current rules allow the practice in the regional jet market, but Canada is trying to use the loans to boost exports of the larger C-Series, which will compete with larger planes in which Boeing and Airbus specialize. Aviation industry financial leaders plan to meet next week to discuss export financing rules at the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development in Paris. The Wall Street Journal cites a U.S. Treasury spokeswoman in reporting that the goal will be to formulate a single set of rules for all aircraft. The light sport aircraft marketplace in the U.S. has become a very crowded scene, with over 100 models available. It may seem like an impossible task to narrow the field to a shortlist. But if you're a large person, it actually becomes a fairly straightforward process, just evaluating them for whether you can get in and out should weed out much of the field. ANN contributor Dave Jewell did just that at the recent U.S. Sport Aviation Expo at Sebring, Florida. Dave is 6'1 and goes 300 pounds, so he made the rounds of the event to see which cockpits could accommodate him, which controls were put where he could easily reach them, and which aircraft had any useful load left after he got in. Among those that passed the test included the FPNA A-22 Valor, the Sea Ray LSX Amphibian, the Warner Sportster, and MySky One, both tandems, and even the Revo Evolution Flexwing Trike. All of them had at least 200 pounds of remaining useful load with Dave strapped in. Some had over 300 pounds left. Dave says, though, that his favorite plane for big guys was the AirCam. It's an open tandem, which unfortunately doesn't qualify as an LSA. Find Dave's detailed commentary, dated January 28th, at aero-news.net. And finally today, security officials at Christchurch International Airport in New Zealand found another man trying to board a plane with something sewn into his underpants. But this time it wasn't an explosive. A German passenger instead was trying to smuggle 44 small lizards out of the country. The geckos and skinks are protected species in New Zealand, and the passenger, 58-year-old Hans Kurt Kubis, admitted he was trading an exploited species without a permit. The Associated Press reports he'll be fined $3,500, spend 14 weeks in jail, and then be deported back to Germany. He could have been jailed for up to 6 months and fined $355,000. The lizards would have been valued at $2,800 each on the European market. New Zealand officials didn't immediately say what was done with the confiscated geckos. It's thought that they've applied for work in car insurance commercials. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org is back to give us tips for dealing with a new airline travel paradigm. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.